So my friend Kelly sent me a text the other day that I think was really funny and you would probably relate to. It was about how we plan to conquer the summer together while both of our boys' preschools and Mother's Day out options, well, they're no longer options for the summertime. Listen, I am all about creating fun summertime memories, but the morning coffee date with friends, the opportunity to clean up the house while the boys were in school, and getting some work deadlines met are now a little bit more challenging. But I have found us all a solution. There is an incredible app called Wendy that connects families and college student nannies. They are background checked, interviewed, and the sweetest. Not only are you able to meet your childcare needs, but you could also help those college students that are looking for summer jobs. There's options for part-time help and full-time help. Whatever your childcare needs are, Wendy has a match for all of them this summer. All you have to do is go to wendy.com/realtalk to start a search for a nanny. And as a special offer, they are going to knock $50 off your search if you go through that link. Wendy provides top-notch service, but at a fraction of the cost of traditional nanny agencies, and there's no ongoing fees. So here's how it works. Go to wendy.com/realtalk to start your search. A Wendy concierge will find great matches for your job and set up interviews for you. Then you choose the one you like. Get started now, though, because there are a lot of parents out there looking for nannies for the summertime, just like you and I. Go to wyndy.com/realtalk right now to start your search. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Real Talk with Rachel Autry. I think that you have pushed play at the perfect time because we are in the middle of Friendship February, which is a series running all the episodes in February all about, you guessed it, friendship. If this is your first one you've joined us for, I'm so glad you're here. This is going to be so life-giving and impactful for you and your life and the friendships around you, whether you have a lot or one or none. And today's conversation specifically with Shay Hill is literally so great. I don't know how else to describe her. Other than what I say, she's a friendship fairy. She is so good at loving her friends well, which then in return gives her great friends because she is a great friend. And I think that's a principle that we all need to learn a little bit more of, just with naturally the world of social media and having this false sense of connectivity that we don't actually have in real life. So how do we love our friends well by knowing our friends well and making and deepening great friendships? Well, I'm so glad you're here because today's conversation is all about that with my good friend, Shay. Shay, welcome. I should say welcome back. Like, welcome back to Real Talk. Well, actually, you know what? Pause, back up. You have yet to be on Real Talk. Technically,
I have yet to be on Real Talk. Yes.
And this was like years ago that you came on Behind the Bliss. You were episode 6. I'm trying to think in my mind. You were definitely episode 6.
Oh my gosh. How do you remember that?
I'm like, I don't know. Maybe because it was like one of the first. We were like so stoked. We still are so stoked. But you know what I mean? Like when things are fresh and things are new, you're like, ah! And you were episode 6. So we talked a lot about kind of, I feel like, maybe what we talk about today, your story, how you really truly steward relationships and friendships and just do that life well with other people. And I am like, this episode, if you have pushed play, I just want to say for the people listening, you about to be blessed. It is going to be so amazing. I'm so excited.
You're so sweet. I'm blessed just to be here and sort of be in your presence. Thanks for having me. It's truly
so
a joy.
Sweet. Of course. Oh my gosh. You're always welcome here. Last time, though, you were on, you had a different last name. You were Shay Tate.
I know. So much was different. Well, I know. It's crazy. And yeah. A few years ago, I was pretty much super single until I met my husband. So if that ministers to anyone on the other side listening to this, I mean, it was like he fell from the sky out of nowhere. And I was like, praise God, honestly. So yes, I got married a little over a year ago to my best friend and husband, Elliot. He is the love of my life, my greatest treasure, greatest friend. And we got married December 3rd of 2022. So still very fresh. So far, so good. Would recommend.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. It's been great.
That's so sweet. And you, last time, it's still true, but you're in Charlotte, North Carolina. Give us some context into like what your life looks like, only to set us up for conversation later, because I think it's so cool, especially when we get to practicals, people are thinking, okay, and now I can fit the practicals she's saying into her lifestyle. And if she can do it, I can do it. So just give us a good idea of who Shay is. What do you do? What do you like to do? Set stage.
Okay, so I am from Birmingham, Alabama. We did not overlap at the same time, which is kind of sad. But I'm born and raised in Birmingham. My whole family is still there. And almost 7 years ago, when I graduated from the University of Alabama, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina to work at Proverbs 31 Ministries and work with Lisa Turkhurst. And this is so crazy, but I graduated from college on a Saturday and moved to Charlotte on a Sunday and started work that Monday. So I have said for many years that I kind of grew up overnight, but that is really not an exaggeration. That's kind of how it was.
Yeah.
I'm the oldest in my family, so I didn't really know about like take the summer abroad and go travel. I was just like, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. And I just jumped right into adulthood in Charlotte. But it's been the biggest blessing of my life. I don't think that I would choose to live somewhere 7 hours away from my family, except that God has been so abundantly generous with life here, in my community, in my job, and just church and everything. It's been such a blessing. I met my husband here. Charlotte has just been so, so good to me. So yeah, I'm on staff at Proverbs 31 Ministries. My day job looks like working with a bunch of words in the form of content, whether it is content that goes into books or Bible studies or devotionals, taking content that's already in a book, Bible study, or devotional and putting it together in a promotional email, or working on recycling content that can be refreshed and used again. I get to work really hands-on with Lisa through her book writing process, which is so incredible. She's so gifted. I mean, more gifted than you would have imagined. If you have read any of her books, you know. But I just love my job. It's a gift to get to work with God's word for a living. And the friends that I've met just through work and also just through living in Charlotte just make life here really sweet. So that's me. When I'm not working, let's see, I have gotten into pickleball over the last couple years, which I know is not
so
super
fun.
Unique anymore. It felt unique at the time. Maybe I started a movement. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so I love to play pickleball unless it's freezing, which it recently has been. I love to work out specifically with my husband. He is like the greatest motivator. I know that's not how everybody loves to spend time with their spouse, but I would say that's not like our most, you know, quality time. It's not like a date, but honestly, he's just built in motivation, which is so helpful. So that's a really great rhythm in our lives. We love trying new restaurants. I'm always on the hunt for a good gluten-free treat, which if you're gluten-free, you know the struggle. It's just not the same. So if I can try to find a good gluten-free treat, I love that. And then, yeah, just getting to see my parents and also my in-laws as much as possible. They're in Birmingham, like I said, and my in-laws are in Memphis and also at the beach. So we try to frequent the beach as much as possible. Who doesn't?
As you should. I was about to
as
say.
As you should.
Like, I would choose that lemon for all it's worth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's a little bit about me. If I've left anything out, feel free to ask. But I feel like that's kind of getting us started.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think it's so interesting because I know, Shay, I also want to put this story together. So when you first came on the podcast is when Mary Scott was doing this gig with me. And Mary Scott, when we were putting together a list, Mary Scott Mercer, if you don't know her, wow, what a hero. And we were putting this list together of our people that we admire, that we feel like just do life abundantly and really well. And we're happy to put them on display. Your name came up. Then I moved to Birmingham. I think I was already in Birmingham trying to like put all this together. Anywho, moved to Birmingham and I'm not kidding, Shay. I think your name came up easily, like 4 times a week. And it was either like, oh, my friend Shay was on your podcast, or it was, I think you know my friend Shay, or it was, my friend Shay just moved and I'm sad about it, or whatever. It just like kept coming up. And then recently have become really good friends with your friend Jordan. And just the way that Jordan has been able to love me in this season of life is one thing. But
she's
anytime
incredible.
She's amazing. Anytime I feel like we sit down, we even talk about friendship or what we're learning or what life is like right now, your name is mentioned. I'm not saying that to like toot your horn. I'm saying that because around here, at least behind the microphone, we are very intentional with who we put here, who we introduce our girls to, and what they have to say. And I guess this is truly to like build a rep for you, for our friends listening that might not know who you are and what you do, but you're the real deal. And I told you this before I pressed record, but I consider you the friendship fairy. Like the ways that I have like witnessed, been a part of it, and like even our friends that we share mutually here in Birmingham, the ways that they're loving me through the ways you've loved them are evident. One example, and then we'll move on because I do have a question.
Okay. Okay. You're so sweet. That will never not make me laugh. Friendship fairy.
Friendship fairy. It's perfect, is it not?
It's so sweet.
We could get that on a sweatshirt for you.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. So Jordan texted me the other week and she said something like, my friend Shay sent this to me and I thought it was a great way to catch up.
Was it all the questions?
All the questions. The
yes.
text literally said, and we'll put it in the show notes. So if you want to borrow it, you can copy paste it and like send it to your people. But it had been the second since Jordan and I had chatted, I'm talking a few weeks. Life was crazy, holidays, all the things. And we just quickly wanted to be like, how are you? What are you liking? What are you loving? Like, what are you learning? What are you reading? What are you binging? And she just sent this list. I think it was like 6 or 7 questions just to quickly fire back to one another. And then I sent them back to her. And it was a fun, quick way. So practical to be like, how are you? Like, and what's changed? Those things, for some reason, like we were talking about, some people have it as a gift. Some people have to learn the rhythm of doing it well. But this conversation is going to be about and for the girls that want to truly lean in, like love their friends well, serve them well, practically, emotionally, in all the ways. So I do have a question now that I'm done talking off my soapbox about how cool you are.
Oh my gosh. No, you're so sweet. I also want to say I got those questions from another friend, my friend Maddie. She and I have recently entered this new season of long distance friendship. And so I have to give credit where credit's due. So I hope that as people are listening to this, they don't think that I like cracked the code on friendship. If anything, I've just watched other people do stuff. And I'm like, I think that works. I'm going to remember that. So really, I feel like it's consistency more than it's just personality or nature. So hopefully that encourages someone as they lean in.
Yes. Oh, amen. You grew up in Birmingham, but then moved to Charlotte. And I think that that's where a lot of our friends have found themselves, either post-grad or moved for a relationship or a job or whatever. I think relocation is one of the hardest and trickiest parts of friendships because you take your old friends and you're now long distance, like you were saying with Maddie, and or you have to create new friendships and really put your feet where you are. And dang, how intimidating is that?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard.
You, my friend. So weird, right? Why is it clunky? And like, I want to know what that experience was like for you having to build again.
Well, when I moved, one of my big motivations for moving, even before I knew it was Charlotte, was I was just so ready to go somewhere where no one knew my name, no one knew my story, no one knew where. I mean, I had come out of a difficult season in college. It was a surrounding about a boy, of course, as it always is, but a breakup that kind of led to some other life changes and just other things. And I was just like, oh, I'm so ready to just do something different and just kind of remove myself, get away. But honestly, it kind of started from an unhealthy place. I would say more like escapism looking back. So I'm like, it sounds so great to go somewhere where no one knows my name, no one knows my story. Like whatever I tell them about myself is all they know. And what I didn't know is on the flip side of this great adventure could be some deep loneliness that I did not know could come about. But God in his kindness, I mean, placed me in the best house of roommates I could have ever moved into when I first moved to Charlotte. But they were pretty much the only people I knew when I moved, except for people I had met when I was interviewing for my job, which I don't really feel like counts. And
I do have a question. Yeah, I was going to say, how did you meet your roommates and get connected? Because I think there are some girls thinking like, I'm about to move, I'm terrified. I don't even know like, how do you find people to live with?
There was one girl that was in my sorority. Her name is Riley. She is an incredible graphic designer that started her own design business. She used to be on staff at Proverbs 31. Her name's Riley Moody. If you want to look her up, but she was pretty much one of the only people I knew in Charlotte. And she knew this group of girls that was moving to a new house and needed someone to fill the space. So short answer is friend of a friend. But it's so funny how like people that you haven't talked to in forever can kind of start to feel like a best friend when you're in transition or you need a connection for something. Like, even if it's just, I'm traveling to this city. Where should I eat dinner or something? Yeah. But just people that you reach out to and just doors that kind of open that way. So I always try to pay that forward, even if I don't know of someone immediately that needs a roommate or, you know, anything like that. I always try to ask because that's how I ended up in that house of girls. But even though they were amazing, like I FaceTimed them one time when I was like on the quad walking in Tuscaloosa and I met them when I moved into the house. So it was like, that was a risky friendship situation. And I'd already signed the lease at that point. So it was like, hope you like me because you're stuck with me anyways, you know?
Yes.
But it ended up being awesome. They were a few years older than me. They had all been in Charlotte for a while and they were really my only friends for a good while, except for people I kind of started to meet through work. But I mean, they just were so inclusive to me. Like they already had their friends. They kind of already had their rhythms. And I was just the plus one that kind of jumped in and tagged along for anything they were doing. So shout out to all of them, Sarah, Emily, Anne, and Nadia. They were so gracious to me, still great friends of mine. And that was kind of friendship at first in Charlotte. And then I think I kind of started to meet friends kind of the same way. I remember Riley, actually, same friend that introduced me to the roommates. She and her roommate, Blair, had people over for dinner that they knew had just moved to Charlotte. It was kind of that like first summer, fall, where everybody that just graduated is starting to move. And they hosted a dinner of girls that they knew, and none of us knew each other. And they just introduced all of us. And two friends.
What a great idea.
Great idea. One of, they did that. And two friends that I met through that were Claire and Sadie. Still amazing friends with them. Claire still lives in Charlotte. We hang out all the time. Sadie.
This is Sadie Wilson.
Yes, it is. It is.
She's my amazing wedding.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's another small world connection that we have. She did the art for my wedding invitation. She's still a dear friend. And Sadie and I mean, if you've ever known Sadie, she is just an amazing friend to have, especially in a season where you're like kind of rebuilding life. Mm-hmm. She is just brave and courageous and like kind of a go-getter, whereas I can be a little bit more timid. And so she kind of helped me and Claire kind of venture into this new season. And so through all three of us, Claire, Sadie, and I, we started meeting all of these girls that were same season as us, just moved to Charlotte. I would say 90% of them were living in one-bedroom apartments, did not know a soul, and their life was just go to work, go home to their apartment, probably FaceTime their mom or talk to their friends from home and kind of carry on and just hope that friends come. And so we decided to start a Bible study because another thing was I was meeting all of these new people and they were all Christians. And I was like, there is no reason why we should all just be walking through life without connection. And so we started a Bible study that summer, and it really wasn't about the Bible study. I actually couldn't even tell you what we studied. It was just about a place for people to come and know each other. Because what started as the Bible study, you know, you get the group text going, and then people pop in and say, I have a reservation for 4 at this place on Friday who want, like, first people to reply, you come. Or, like, those became the first friends that, like, we had birthday parties with or that we really did anything with because they were the only people we knew. And so out of that kind of just became what really is now like my main friend group in Charlotte. And so I hope that encourages someone. It even just encourages me as I'm retelling it because it really was so simple, but it took someone to be like, we have to initiate this. So we got to get people out of their one bedroom apartments and into community one night a week, at least, like, let's do it.
There's three things I'm pulling out from this that I want
you want to identify them now?
I want to reiterate again and again.
Okay, go for it.
Okay? Yeah. Number one was that I think so many times as adults, we imagine friendship to be like, you see someone at a coffee shop, you introduce yourself awkwardly and you ask to be best friends. Like, that is not how this works. And I want
almost like how people want to meet their spouse too, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to like call attention to the fact that this was truly like a gift of community of, yes, you were vulnerable. Yes. You like shared the need and was like, I'm new, whatever, but it came from asking for help from someone that might even felt a little bit unfamiliar in that season and being like, I know you have a connection. Would you help me? And that person then being kind and saying, of course. And I don't think really there's more people that want to help than people that don't. And
I agree.
Too many times we get in our own head and get in our own way and stop ourselves from even finding a solution to the issue. But people want to help and people want to connect. So really cool. Another one I want to pull out is the fact that there are friends in your life, and I think you're the friend now that does feel settled, that did have the friend group, that had the connections and had the girls to text when they wanted company or whatever, and they were inclusive. And so I want to speak life into that because I think so many times girls get a bad rap for being drama and exclusive and like gossipy and whatnot. And I think that space is true. I definitely think that that's an easy sin for us. However, there are good girls. Like, there are girls that are worth like putting, you know, a sentence out for. And I think that that's so cool. And if you are that girl that you feel like is blessed in this space of life, include, like, add people to your group message, like, and invite people into what's already happening and start something.
Kind of. I want to add a disclaimer to that too, because chances are, if you're in a season where you do feel settled, your plate also probably feels full.
That's good.
To where you're like, I think you actually said this on your 29 things that you learned.
No new friends.
Like, no new friends. Okay. And I understand that. Like, I understand being maxed out socially where you're like, we have our small group or our community group, and I have my friends that I hang out with on the weekend. Oh, and now I'm in a romantic relationship. So now I have my friends and his friends, my coworkers and his coworkers. Uh-huh. Like my friend's birthdays and his friend's birthdays. I totally understand that. Yeah. I think I hope in a life-giving way, when you meet someone or encounter someone that needs to be included, you don't feel the pressure to have to like permanently meet them in a place they may need right now. Like going to coffee with them one time doesn't mean that you have to meet with them every week until they like have friends, or inviting them over for dinner doesn't mean that that has to be something that happens all the time if you don't have capacity for that. But just because it can't become a permanent rhythm doesn't mean that it can't be something you do one time or a few times, you know, like even if it's not something that you can add to your plate forever, how could it fit in right now in what you're already doing, you know? So I just wanted to add that because I know if you are in a season where you feel settled, chances are your life already feels full. But don't let that be an obstacle to keeping your eyes open and just remembering like people that reached out to you when you were in a season of need. So.
And you could be a segue. I have so many segue friendships where like I brought two people to the same thing and now they hang out more than I hang out with any of them individually. And I love
it. And that's amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing. Right. Like I love that because if you invite the new friend, it doesn't mean the new friend is 100% your responsibility. If you have a good friend group, the responsibility is shared to love and nurture and serve her where she is. And with good friends comes that understanding.
Yeah, you can make that connection without having to be their savior, you know, because there is a little bit of a savior complex when you know someone is in a season of loneliness or they're brand new or they need new friends. But it's also a really great opportunity for you to help make a connection, but don't step in and feel like you have to be their savior and fill all of their social needs, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So pressure's off, but I do love pressure's that. It's like, if you feel like you have an abundance of friendship or relationships, like consider hosting a fun movie night at your house or consider like, I don't know, doing a picnic at a park or like, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but do something that's easy to gather people and then connection, friendship, relationships, network. Like all that.
Plan something happens. Where capacity is not an issue. Like you said, picnic at the park. Anyone can come to that and say, like, bring a friend I haven't met yet, or like bring someone that you think would enjoy this. And you just never know what would come from that.
Anywho, I just wanted to like highlight those things. So continuing with your story, because I am interested in the rest as far as now Charlotte is home. and you share that home with your husband and y'all create a little family, like the two of you. And I'm just so interested in why is it that your friendships you feel like are rich? What are you doing? Give us a little peek behind things. And I want to add the caveat that some people, like I have said, I just want to reiterate that friendship is not a gift for everyone. And chances are, if you press play on this episode, it's because maybe there's a space that you want to learn in this area. And things might feel robotic. And some of the things that Shay has to say maybe won't come naturally, but that's not an excuse to not give it a try. And this is discipline and a calling. And what obedience looks like when you walk with Jesus is to live life with one another. So, now that the caveat's out there, I want to know, what are some things that Shay does to nurture relationships and to create a home out of a zip code?
Well, I feel like there's a few things I could say, but before I start, I just want to say, talking about friendship, it's so crazy that you would, you know, jokingly call me the friendship fairy and things like that, because as I was thinking about this episode and just preparing and praying for this earlier this week, I was just reminded of all of the friendship failures that I've had over the course of my life, things that I have not done well, not just things that I've done, but also pain that I've experienced in friendship. Mm-hmm. And so I will start this just by saying a lot of these things that I try to incorporate in my friendships are things that were probably not done for me or things that I have not done well before. And so I just want to break any kind of appearance that this comes easy for me, that it's always been this way, that I'm perfect at this, that like 100% of the time this is what it looks like, because it's not. And that would just be untrue. But I would say in a perfect world, this is like, these are some of the things that I strive to do consistently. The first thing that really comes to mind is just not leaving intentionality up to chance or to my memory.
And what do you mean by that? So yes, I'm glad you're going into this.
Yes, I'm going to break that
down.
That's
something a lot of us are doing.
So if you've listened to anything or read anything about relationships, like chances are something has come up about intentionality. And I would just say, I would argue that intentionality is not like a gift that you have or something that you don't have. It's not a personality trait that you access or that you're born with or that you don't. I think intentionality is a muscle that you have to work. It is a discipline that you choose. And I think you can set yourself up to be intentional by like supporting yourself with a few little things. So let me tell you this, like as an example, I do not leave. Let's use Jordan as an example. Okay. Yeah. Jordan's birthday is in April. I know this because I've been friends with her for forever, but I'm not going to leave intentionality up to chance that I remember Jordan's birthday just because I'm going to wake up on April 3rd and I'm going to remember it's her birthday. Absolutely not. You know why? Because I know myself too well. I move too fast. I say yes to too many things and I forget. I'm forgetful. So I have her birthday in my calendar. And I also have an alert that reminds me 1 week before that it's coming. And that's just like one little example. So it's like, I'm not going to leave intentionality up to chance. Okay. I'm going to set myself up well to remember that's her right. birthday. I do this with important dates. Like I have a friend who lost her mom at a young age that I know that anniversary is super tender. That's in my calendar. I have other like meaningful times like that. Even like family birthdays or anniversaries of couples that we do life with really closely, I'll have that in my calendar. But that's just one little hack of not leaving intentionality up to chance. And that way, you know, I feel like the more that you are aware, the more that intentionality will come natural. Like, for example, in our friend group in Charlotte, we have a friend whose birthday is kind of the first birthday of the year. It's in March, and nobody has one before her. So I feel like in years past, like March would roll around and we'd be like, oh shoot, it's time to celebrate her birthday. But then because she was kind of the first, the others would kind of fall. And I felt like at times she was getting the short end of the stick. And I was like, no more.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I'm not sure what just bloomed in the air, but my allergies have been so out of control. I so badly want to live the life where I can keep my doors open with this perfect spring weather, and I'm able to roll around in the grass outside with my littles and live a life without the gross congestion. But when my allergies are at their worst, I start having to compromise on life. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I love that Claritin has an option for non-drowsy relief of allergy symptoms. With Claritin D, you can still make the most of your day without compromise. This means that I can have my windows down car dance sessions with my boys and help with yard work without the symptoms of my allergies popping up out of nowhere. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
So as I kind of look ahead to the year, I've gotten better at being like, by the end of February, we need to talk about her birthday so that it doesn't get lost. So anyway, those are just like a few things that I do. I think you can do this too with so many other rhythms of your life. Like, this is why I am so crazy, but I write everything down, not by paper, because again, I would lose it or spill coffee on it or whatever, but I just keep a running note in my phone of like everything that we're doing through the week. And if it changes, I can make quick edits. But that is just one way that I feel like I've really tried to stay consistent in. And I feel like it's actually easy. Like, you plug in that date one time and then you have put the little repeat thing on and you don't have to think about it anymore.
Adding to this, the intentionality is when a friend, you know, you're like, hey, can I pick you up a coffee? And she's like, yes, you know, an iced vanilla latte, oat milk, extra ice. You're like, hey, I'm never going to remember that. I have a running list in my phone of when someone asks for a certain drink, I'll be like, oh, is that your go-to order? Like, yes, great. I will add that to my phone. So that if I know she's having a bad day, needs to pick me up, or even on her birthday, I'm like, girl, go get you that iced latte, you know, vanilla, oat milk, extra ice. And those are the things that, like you said, I'm a forgetful person. I'm not doing this to like praise myself. I'm doing this because I know I'm a failure in those areas, and that my mind can't keep up with that and everything else. But to love my friends well looks like sometimes things looking clunkier or even like staged or reminders set on your phone and alerts. I think a lot of people are like, that's so inauthentic. And I'm like, but it's better than not showing up.
Exactly. It's like, actually, no, it is. It's what I need to be able to love this friend well, so that it's not dependent on like my flesh, which will forget, which will get busy. And I don't want to. I feel like it's looking ahead and saying like, I want to love this person well, and these are the things that I need to do to support that. A few other things is just like learning how to, you mentioned this, the coffee, like becoming a noticer. I think God is inviting us every single day to become a noticer of things that he's putting in our path. I think if the sun is shining today, like it is, he wants me to notice that. If the sky is blue, he wants me to notice that. Just the little ways that I feel like God shows up, in all the ways we can experience his goodness through our five senses, he's inviting us to be a noticer. And I think it's the same thing with our relationships. Like, you're asking like, is that your go-to coffee order? Or just learning even like, what is your friend's like routine? What's their like workout of choice? What's their marriage like? Are they in a season of church feeling really awesome? Or does church feel hard right now? What's their relationship with their parents like? Are holidays really hard for them? Like, and I will say, I'm not always asking these questions pointed like, Rachel, is church really hard for you right now? No. But like, I'm kind of being like a sponge, so that when we spend time together, I can like remember things that you've told me, or just become a noticer of things. I have another example, like if you told me, if we were doing life together and you were like, I have my biggest meeting for work every single week Tuesdays at 12:30. And like, I always leave with a headache. It always stresses me out. Like, I could set an alarm in my phone to go off at 12 every single Tuesday that just said, pray for Rachel. There may be some times that I text you and tell you I'm praying for you. There may be some times that I'm not. But again, I'm not going to leave intentionality up to chance. I'm going to go ahead and set myself up for success to remember. And I don't think it's inauthentic. I think God has given us these little things that we can do to support the things that, like, on our best day, we want to do all of these things, you know? And so I think that's another way, is like just being a noticer, being a sponge, like, what's their favorite snack? What do they like to do on their birthday? Like, just things like that. It really is more simple than you think. It's simple, but it's not simplistic. So what do you need to do to set yourself up to support that? And kind of tied with becoming a noticer is just anticipating needs. So, like, for example, going back to the big meeting on Tuesday, like, is that a night that they work late? Or I know, like, Rachel, your husband travels a lot. And so when he's out of town, like, your community steps in and helps when, like, dinner and bedtime are not as easy when you're by yourself. So it's like anticipating those needs. And you may not always be able to show up with support of your presence, but how can you show up? If it's a text, is it sending a little Venmo for a coffee? Is it offering to DoorDash dinner? Is it, maybe it is offering the gift of your presence. Like, hey, I actually have a pretty light work day. Like, I'll pick up the kids today and bring them to wherever you are. Just offering to do those little things and really doing life together. It doesn't always have to be the big things. Like, I feel like some of the big friendship pillars might be, you know, the birthday parties and the celebrations and the get togethers and things like that. But it's really just showing up in the daily spaces where you just maybe need a little bit of support, a little bit of laughter, a little bit of prayer. Just, I think, filling the gaps in the ways that a friend can do. And if you're doing life with people in a city right now, like, you have more access to be able to show up for them there. I think a big challenge for me, and continues to be a challenge for me, is figuring out how I can love long distance friends well, just because it's simply more difficult. It just is. Like, I don't, naturally. Yes, it is. Yeah. You're fighting time changes of when each other is available for calls. You don't always know their schedule. You're limited to be able to get that face-to-face communication. And it's very hard. Like, even for me, my family's in the same city as 90% of my friends that don't live in Charlotte. So every time I go to Birmingham, it's like figuring out how to, like, manage all of this well. And it's difficult, you know? And so I would just say, this is not this is not easy. It's an art, not a science. It's not A plus B equals C. It is a delicate art to balance. And it's not super easy, but I think there's things that we can do that really help with the process.
I think that, like, there's two parts to this in my mind. I'm thinking there's being a good friend and then there's having a good friend. Yeah. And I think there's also a grief to this conversation when you feel like you're always the friend that shows up, but you don't have the friends that do the things we're talking about for you too.
Right.
And I want to encourage the girl that feels lonely in that there are other girls listening to this that desire to be good friends that maybe haven't shown up before. I've been that friend where I'm like, I have been absent. I haven't shown up for you. I, like, literally forgot your birthday. Like, I've been the friend that's missed it. And so I want to apologize on behalf of those people and also remind you that we all fall short. And
we absolutely do.
Like, if you're desiring to have the friend, also means that you're going to have to extend the compassion and grace and know that just like you're walking through something hard, they probably have a story they're walking through too. They do. They don't probably. They absolutely do. And
they
so
totally do.
Being a good friend is actually setting the example for your friends of the expectation of the relationship. And I have found that when I, regardless if that friend shows up for me or not, or maybe my friend does leave intentionality up for chance, like we're talking about, and she misses it, continuing to show up for her. And that is gospel. Like, that is, like, sets an, like, an uneven explainable, you didn't have to say it, but she's like, she gets a conviction in her heart. Or if I'm the girl, I'll get a conviction in my heart. Like, you showed up for my birthday, even though I forgot yours. Are you serious? And it almost takes your friendship to the deeper level. So if you feel like you don't have the friends that show up for you, I want to encourage you to continue to show up.
Yeah.
That sounds really hard. But
I have a family that I'm super close with in Charlotte that are foster parents, and something that they have taught me, my husband actually lived with them when we were engaged. So we saw them parent him, and they learned a lot about attachment, and just like the way they've had to parent him is different than the way they've parented their other two children. And so something that they taught us is when he has like an outburst or a reaction, we'll call it a rip. Like there's a, something's happening. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not really about whatever caused the like rip or how intense it was, whether it was like mom lost her cool, he didn't get what he wanted, I had to break a promise I had made. Like that is, that suddenly becomes secondary when the outburst is happening. What really matters is the repair. So mm-hmm. I would say with friendships, if they forgot your birthday, if they didn't show up for you, if they've been feeling absent, if they have been leaving your text unread and stopped returning your calls, like it is about the rip, and we can talk about that. But what's really more important is the repair. And I think some of us may have some friends that like we need to initiate the repair. And some of us, like, because we dropped the ball, like you're saying. And then others, maybe we're in a season where we're kind of trying to repair a friendship. And I would say if it's a friend that you want to go the distance with in life, like keep working at the repair, because that is what matters. And this whole life journey, it is a journey, you know, but relationships are something that I do believe we get to take with us to heaven. I don't know what all of that like looks like, but I do think what we do relationally really matters. Mm-hmm. And even if the repair means that they used to kind of be like your inner circle friend and now they're an outer circle friend, whatever that looks like, I would say invest in the repair, or in humility, initiate the repair, because that's really what matters more than the infraction that caused the rip.
So good. On that note, I need to know, and I need to ask for the girls listening, what does it look like when you used to be BFFs with a girly and then life changes, she gets married, you have a kid, somebody moves, like something happens and circumstances change and the relationship is just different because your surroundings and your circumstances are different. Let's talk about like the grief of that, or even maybe moving forward with friendship, although it might be different. Because I think that that's also another whole part of this conversation.
It's so hard. I think anyone that had, like, I think an example of this could be like college, like where it's like,
yes,
you're in college, you have that friend group, everything makes sense. Everyone belongs, you know, you're doing a lot of the same things, and then you all separate and life changes. You're meeting new friends, you're feeling things shift. So there's grief there, whether you're kind of anticipating, like, I'm feeling this change, I'm trying to resist it, I don't want this, but it's happening. Or there's maybe grief of a completely different situation where a friend really screwed you over or did you wrong. Or you found something that you never wanted to see, or they sent a text to you that was not supposed to go to you. That has happened to me.
Oh, the worst. Yes.
Oh, it's horrible. Cause you're like, I know this wasn't supposed to go to me. And if it wouldn't have gone to me, that might make me feel better. But now knowing that this would have been said about me regardless, like that doesn't feel good.
Right.
I don't know what the solution is. I don't know the perfect plan to process this, but I will just normalize like life changes and therefore friendship changes. I would say depending on the situation, like that's how I would respond. Like if it's something where you wounded them, even if you don't want to go back to the place where the friendship was, like, have you apologized? Do you have capacity to apologize? Do you have capacity to like have a marked moment where you like lay all the cards on the table and apologize, even if the friendship is not repaired to what it was, but that you can at least say, this was my marked moment where I apologized and like in humility, I laid it all out there and like, I've done what I can do, you know? Yeah. And then it's really, relationships also take two people. So it takes two people to come together and repair. And if I've wounded someone and they don't want to repair that friendship with me, like that's their choice, unfortunately. And is there grief associated with that? Absolutely. Am I so sad? Yes. But I also think I also want to normalize that there's some friendships where maybe nothing big happened. You just look back and you're like, there was a drift happening. And I didn't even realize it was happening in real time. But now a person that maybe would have been in my wedding, like, she'll just be invited, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just want to normalize that, like, that happens, and that there, you may have not done anything wrong. Like, there yes. may have been a change, like a right. change in proximity, a change in capacity. Like, maybe you went through something that was really hard and traumatizing, and you didn't have the energy or time to keep up in a season in the way that they were asking you. Or maybe you guys were in a different place of something that really mattered, and you weren't each other's best fit to walk each other through a certain season. And now that you're on the other side of that, there's a drift. I think sometimes there's not something we need to apologize for, but we're just grieved because changes happen and we don't know what to do about it. And I don't know the answer, but I might propose there's nothing you need to do.
Right.
Other than look around and see who's in your circle now that could be in your inner circle. And it's okay if it's not that person. Like, pray for them when they yes. come to mind. Wish them well. Like, still text them happy birthday. Like,
yeah.
maybe you don't hang out with them one-on-one. That doesn't mean you never see them.
Right.
But these, I mean, relational wounds are so hard and devastating, and friendship wounds are so hard. I think especially as we get more into adulthood, the stakes feel higher with friendship. Like, I don't have kids yet, but you do. And so maybe, like, there's friends in your life where you're like, we're raising kids together, and mm-hmm. our kids are going to go to kindergarten together and all of that. It's like you're building a life together, and these people are becoming like your people. They're becoming your community. You've had them in your home. It's not just like a friend you had in elementary school that was your friend because you had the same teacher that year, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's difficult, and it's not perfect. It's messy. I'm a big fan of saying I'm sorry, and I'm a big fan yes. of saying I forgive you, even if the relationship changes.
So good. Oh, yes. And I think that this is where like having the gift of the Holy Spirit comes into play, where you can, if you are wounded or grieved about something, you can sit in that space with Holy Spirit and be like, am I missing something? Like,
absolutely.
Prompt
I
me.
Will say, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say something that I have realized as seasons change, and this could be a change of a job, a change of a location, a change of a relationship, meaning like they got married or they lost a parent or, you know, anything like that. There have been many times where I've realized I used to know how to be a good friend to her, and now I don't. So I've got to relearn what it means to be a good friend to her. I think, again, just normalizing that change and just reaching a place where, like, I'm going to say, I know, I'm not going to assume I know what she needs in this season, or I'm not going to assume I know how to show up for her. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask her. I'm going to say, hey, friend, I've been struggling to know how to show up for you and best support you in this season. I don't want to pretend I know what is like most tender on your heart right now, or the things that I could be praying for, or something like that. So like, will you tell me, like, would you be willing to invite me in and tell me how I could love you well right now? And
even if it's last minute, even if it's yes. messy, even if you say, I yes. don't know, like, I'm still going to just shoot my shot, throw noodles at the wall. And if something sticks, you let me know. And she's
and
like,
if,
okay.
Yeah. And if someone asked me that, I would be like, you are, uh-huh. that is so intentional. They may not have an answer for you right then, but you know what that communicates to them is you are trying. You're yep. trying and you're putting in that effort. And so I think just dropping the assumptions that you may not know how to show up for them, you know, like you, like, I think there's been times where friends like really needed me. Like, I have a friend, my friend Maddie, that now lives in San Francisco. There was a season where she was renovating a house and she was pretty much doing it by herself. And that was not the season for us to like go on really fun girls trips and like go to fun dinners and things like that. Like, she needed me to show up with presence and with tools and my willingness. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was there to help. Like, I would pay, mm-hmm. I would tear down walls with her. So we did. Yeah. Like, that yeah. was not a fancy friendship season, but that's how I showed up for her then, you know. Mm-hmm. Other friends, like when they have their first baby, I may not be able to show up with the gift of my presence, and maybe they don't want me to, but you know what I can do? Send a DoorDash gift card and let them just right. have a night off from having to like make dinner. So there's different ways that I think even as life change, we can still be apart. We just may not know how. And in order to really effectively love our friends well, we might just have to ask them. Because we may be showing up. You may be like, I call her all the time. Like, I'm trying so hard to be a good friend to her. And I just feel like it's not getting anywhere. And it may be just the case that she's in a place where she can't talk on the phone for extensive amount of time in this season. You know,
that was me. I'm like, maybe she's got a crying baby in the car every time they get in the car seat.
She's not texting you back
anymore.
Maybe it's not malicious. Maybe she's just like, you're not the only person she's not texting back right now. You know, so it's challenging, but if we can learn to ebb and flow with the seasons of life as they come, I think that we'll go the distance with people that we're supposed to, that the Lord's put in our path.
Shay, I don't think you know what this has done. This has given people like legitimate tools. Literally, we give people listening, yes or no, permission to copy and paste what we have said. Even if you need to borrow the scripts that we've kind of proposed, maybe even if you feel prompted to do something, like there are so many good ideas that you just introduce to friends that just feel stuck and a little bit speechless. And I'm like the most grateful. This is what we needed. It's just,
this is like what I need. It was a good reminder for me.
Yes. Permission granted to feel robotic and for it to be and feel inauthentic. It is maybe going to be a little bit robotic, and that's discipline, right? Like taking medicine to help your body with a specific need. It's a bit routine and robotic, but that's what you need for health. Or like having to run, like couch to 5K. Like there's a program, there's a system, like the muscles need to be worked in order for you to gain the strength to do something with endurance. And that is friendship too. And so just permission granted for the people that are like, I'm not good at this, and this is not going to come easy. But thank you for showing up and listening to this episode in completion, because it shows that you have the desire. And I know, I believe that where there is a desire, like the Lord wants to see that through, especially when it's a desire for relationship in His will. And
absolutely. And I would say your desire for friends is like that, an ounce of desire is enough to get started to cultivate the friendships that you desire to have, that you want to have. So even if you're showing up with just a teensy bit of desire, even if you put some of these things into practice and you feel awkward, that doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. Like, keep trying at it. If you try something that I talked about today and it's a total flop, that doesn't mean that you're destined to be lonely.
Don't blame Shay.
and that you'll never have the group of friends that you want or anything like that. Like, this is...
If you do the Bible study and no one shows up, that's happened to me too. Like, welcome to the club. But like, A for effort. I mean, you did it.
A for effort. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. It's just about putting in the effort and trying.
So good. Okay. One last fun question has nothing to do with conversation and really can be as spiritual as you want to take it.
Okay,
what is something you're loving these days that you have to share with our friends listening? There's got to be something cool.
I had something come to mind, but it sounds so lame. Should I just say it anyways?
Okay. Listen, everyone always says so lame and easily turns into my new favorite thing. So go.
Okay. So I have been recently reincorporating dairy into my life, and it's been totally fine. I am gluten-free, but I've been reintroducing dairy, and something that has become my new love is Greek yogurt. And I think it can be used like 100 different ways. It's crazy. Like, I made a loaf of banana
sour
bread.
Cream.
It's so good. It's so good. I made a loaf of banana bread this week. I added that on top of it, and it was like this amazing morning treat. I've started adding protein powder to it to make like a protein yogurt bowl. So good. I've used it as like a base of a salad dressing. Like, it is just, it's rocking my world and changing my life. I love it so much. The first week that I was like, I'm going to start trying this, I only bought like one little teensy tub. And then a few days into this, I was like, I'm out of yogurt. I got to go get more from the store. And so that is something I am absolutely loving right now. And it's my new hyper fixation food. So I'm sure the next time that we talk, it'll be something different. But a
brand
of yogurt.
Chobani? Like, what's your brand?
So I am picky that I want it to be organic, and I don't want it to have any like added sugar or anything that's not needed. So I've done a few different brands. Why are all yogurt brands hard to pronounce? I don't know. I'm going to try.
Yes.
Yeah. But I've done Siggy's, and then I've done Fage, or I don't even know how you say it. Yeah. F-A-G-E. Don't know if that's how you say it, but those are probably two of my faves right now. And the options for toppings are unlimited. So it's just like basically having a little TCBY at home with everything that you want to add. You get to make it your own. I love it.
Oh my gosh. So my mom came to stay with my boys when Thomas and I were on trip. And for breakfast, my mom was like, Maddox, our two, almost three-year-old, like, what would you like to eat? He goes, I would like a parfait, please. Because that's what we used to make him is like,
man after my own heart.
Yogurt, granola, and some berries. And my mom was like, excuse me. I think she was expecting a frozen waffle. It's just like a parfait. He's that's like, amazing. Yeah, I don't even know what that is. It's just so funny. But we're Greek yogurt.
That is so cute. Oh my gosh.
With a little bit of honey sometimes if you want to
juice. Yeah. So like good. We said, the options are endless. You can make it your own. I love
savory
it.
Savory or sweet. Choose.
Exactly. Exactly. Choose your journey. I love it.
Choose your journey. You are a gem. You are the friendship fairy that our girls needed, truly. And
oh my God.
Just so grateful for your guests and for showing up and just putting all the wisdom into our fun 50 minutes together. You're a blast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you. And I love being your friend, even though we're not in the same city.